John Fanga is the Deputy Director General at the Ministry of Health, Māori. And as always, a pleasure to welcome you into the program. Hone tēnā koe, John.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Kaurua te wai, mihi ana ki a koe o te rā tātou.
Before we go into the serious matter of health, let us talk about the serious matter of Kirikiri Roa on Saturday evening, John Fanga. And I hope you were tuned in and revelled in the Kiwis' result as much as I did. I still got the ticket. It's in my wallet. I'm looking at it with a smile. So it was something else. I know you like your rugby league, John.
It was an incredible performance. Speechless, really. And they, I mean, to be honest, they set the tone from the first run-up from their captain, and they pretty much kept running into them for the next 80 minutes.
The health of the Australian team and their defensive work needs to be questioned. John Fanga, let's talk a little bit more about people no longer talking about COVID. But it is, in fact, our country's biggest infectious disease killer. Should we be talking about COVID still? What are some of your latest stats?
In short, yes, we should be still talking about COVID. In the last 18 months, when you look through the stats, there's been a steady decrease in COVID. Although there has been a slight increase in reported cases in the last couple of weeks. But it's kind of similar, in a way, Darryl, it's kind of similar to prior to COVID when we had flu that came around every year, and people didn't realise that every year people died of the flu. So I think some of the things that we had to practice seriously during the lockdowns, things like washing our hands, self-isolating, staying home, you know, using a RAT test when you've got symptoms, they still really matter. It's still really important that we practice those things and keep ourselves safe.
Tēnā koe, John. What's your thinking on the change of government? How might that impact Māori health?
Yes, well, in the period, I think they call this period the interregnum, which is really the period between the finishing of the last parliament, and the last government, and the opening of the new one. There hasn't been a date set for the new government yet. And as you know, there's a number of discussions. In terms of impact on Māori health, some of that will have to wait. I mean, in terms of the role myself and other public servants and people working in ministries do, we serve the government of the day. So when the government is formed, they'll no doubt have some ideas about some of their priorities. For Māori health, some of our priorities will, I think, remain. We've got some huge challenges to ensure equity in Māori health. We've got parts of the country that are harder done by than others. We've got communities that are putting their hands up to be involved in how we plan and think about health. So I think some of those things will continue, but there will be a direction from the new government when it's formed. And I suppose for us, Dale, we sit here and wait for that and wait for some of that clarity around those things.
We just had a chat with a neonatologist, a Jane Olswaler. I don't know if you know Jane, but was talking about funding of a drug to counteract RSV. It's been taken off the list by Pharmac. But as an example, there's not an endless supply of money, and we've got to accept that. So how do we go about prioritising Māori health need? And whose responsibility is that, John, to put our case forward for funding in whatever health direction is most needed? Who advocates for Māori health on a regular basis and has the most sway, John?
I'm not sure about who has the most sway, but in terms of advocacy for Māori health, certainly within the current system, Dale, there's work we do in the ministry. There's also work that Te Whatu Ora and Te Akawhai Ora are doing specifically looking at Māori health. So that kind of advocacy is really important. I think what's also important is drawing on the evidence we have. We will have to make, and we have for some time had to make hard decisions between competing priorities, including how it is we prioritise people who are more vulnerable and have greater need. And I think what's really important is that we use really good evidence to show not only the cause of the things and the things we are trying to fix, if you like, but also what some of the potential solutions are. I think there continue to be things that we learned from COVID which are still useful moving ahead. For instance, we had really strong community providers, both Māori and other community providers, who made a huge difference in our communities, particularly those that are hard to reach. And so, you know, those, it's really important, I think, to make sure that those things are well known. As I said, there'll be, I'm sure, an opportunity to brief the new government on the state of play and the things currently at play. We'll get some instructions from them about their priorities. But there's some good, strong building blocks, I think, which show that involving Māori, involving community providers, mobilising services, increasing access, making sure that we've got services working with each other, that works really well for Māori as well as the general community. So I think we've all got a responsibility to be using that evidence and pointing out the things that work and the things that we've still got to work on.
Tēnā koe, John. Can we talk about midwives? Obviously, those working in the hospital settings have been given a much-deserved pay increase, but midwives seemingly in the community, and particularly our wahine Māori midwives, seem to be still struggling. What can you share about midwives' pay scales and some of the tono you've had for increased recognition? And we talk of this bearing in mind that some birthing centres, particularly in Rahui Pōkeka, Huntly, are closing due to lack of funding. What's an update from the Ministry's perspective on the plight of midwives in our community? Please, John.
Well, I think a couple of things. As you'll know, the midwives themselves and their representatives are wanting to engage, as I understand it, particularly with the new government, because they haven't, from their perspective, landed in the place they were happy with regard to salaries. On the other side, and I wish it was an area where, because I think to start with, Dale, and I think it's always important to start with this, there's no disagreement, and there's plenty of evidence which shows that we need to be, if we can make sure our tamariki and our wahine and those who are hapū, but also through to our young children, if we can make sure they have a good start in life, then that counts down the track in terms of them being able to keep themselves healthy. So there's no disagreement with that. I think there are a number of things, though, that need to come together for us to be able to address this. We do need to increase the numbers of midwives, and there is work being undertaken by particularly Te Whatu Ora and Te Aka Whaero through their workforce plan. They have direct responsibility and work around there to look at how we can increase the numbers, particularly of Māori and others moving into midwifery, and also strengthening the position of those currently in place, looking at how we can expand cultural and clinical support and coaching. But it's an area, like a number of our areas with workforce development, where it's not about doing just one thing. We've got to bring a number of things together. And then on top of that, there's where we need to be putting our priorities in terms of health service funding. I'm not sure of the exact situation with the Huntly Birthing Centre that you talked about, Dale, but there are, I think, a number of areas where we're challenged by having to make hard decisions about what's going to be a priority, looking at where we can best provide service. But there is work currently underway. Some of that will take some time to realise.
Tēnā koe. And finally, please, John, measles, obviously a threat to our community, and a nationwide hunt on for a group who could be infected. There are free measles immunisations. What's some kōrero you share with us about how infectious measles are, how important it is that those who you love have been immunised against it?
Yes, we've been in the ministry meeting regularly, for instance, with Te Whatu Ora and Te Aka Whaora, looking at both measles and indeed other areas of immunisation. Measles is highly contagious. It's more contagious than COVID, for instance. It spreads really easily. And for some people, it can cause serious problems. The best immunity for measles is to make sure that people have had two doses of the MMR vaccine, or if they've had measles previously. We do consider that people who've lived in New Zealand prior to 1969 are considered immune because measles was very common at that time, so it's highly likely people and families have been exposed to it and have developed an immunity to it. It is part of the childhood immunisation work that we really need to ramp up, and we are ramping up at the moment. It's really important that we get the message out to our parents and families that it's important that all of our children are fully vaccinated. It's free for the MMR vaccine is free for people under age 18 and under. And for those who are older, you can access the vaccine through your local GP or doctor or health provider. Although if you are worried that you have been exposed to measles and you are wanting to book in to your local health provider, for instance, it's really important you give them a call because it is contagious and they'll talk to you about how what are the best steps to go there and be treated, for instance.
Thanks again, John. As always, appreciate your thoughts and look forward to our next kōrero as we talk issues of Māori health. John Whanga with us from the Ministry. Thank you for your time today. Ngā mihi, te ranga tira, tēnā koe, John.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Tēnā koutou katoa. Kia kaha, kia mai, kia manawanui. Tēnā tātou.
Kia ora no atu.